Pastor Emeritus Assembly of God, where our mission every day of the year is to be a blessing, to be as much of a blessing as we can. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to our bodies, to our soul, to our spirits. We want to be a blessing to our church, to our community, and we want you to join us in being a blessing. The Refresh Radio program, one of the theme verses that we have is, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so we want you to be a blessing, because God said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. And that blessing is going to extend to all the families of the earth. That is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is living inside of us. And so I pray that you will be a blessing. So our theme for this year is Thus Says the Lord. And with so many voices out there, we are really seeking as a church to hear God's voice, pay attention to his voice. And if that means we have to silence some of the other voices, then so be it. We can do that. I've over the past year have reestablished priorities in my life, so that there were things that we had going on that we no longer have going on, things that we watched that we don't watch, and things that we listen to that we no longer listen to. And all of that is geared towards being able to say with greater clarity, greater confidence, Thus says the Lord. So if you would like to come and join us on this journey, we would love to have you come and be a part of what we're doing. You know, we want to be a blessing to our community, and that the greatest blessing is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Our phone number is 321-454-4263. If you've got a prayer request or a praise report that you would like to share with us, you can also communicate that information via email, meritassembly@hotmail.com, meritassembly, meritassembly@hotmail.com. You can also connect with us through our Facebook page that we live stream our services on and things like that. So with that being said, we want to get back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we've been going through it. It was right after Jesus fed the 5,000 men, the ladies, the children. He did all of that with five loaves and two fish. And because of that, those people traveled all the way around the lake when they realized that Jesus was no longer where they were. They wanted to go and find where Jesus was. And Jesus had perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. And so he said, nope, wrong plan. I need to go talk to the Father. And so he went and withdrew himself. They made their way all the way around to the other side of the sea. And they were there seeking Jesus, which sounds like a wonderful thing. And Jesus told them this. He said, you are not seeking me because of, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And so we're this is the last one of these that we're going to talk about, that there are negative motivators. And I put that in those terms, not because it's wrong to seek Jesus. It's just not the best reason. It's not a noble reason. You know, there are a lot of people who are seeking Jesus and they're looking for healing. They are looking for provision in their life. They're looking for a lot of things, but the best reason to seek Jesus is because you love Jesus. You love Jesus. And so whenever you seek him because you love him and you know that he loves you, all of those blessings are going to come as well. So yesterday we ended up in verse number 51, according to my notes here. And so verse 52 says this, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. For he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Let me just tell you, Jesus was speaking here about communion. That's what he was. That unless we partook of the provision that he was making through his shed blood and through his broken body for our salvation and for our healing, that there was no other alternative. They needed to be doing that. He says, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now listen to verse number 60. Okay? This is primarily addressing people who had just experienced the miraculous and had traveled all the way around the boat. It's doubtful that the entire entourage did that, but there were people who were seeking him because they were looking for miraculous provision along the lines of manna that was provided when they were coming out of Egypt. What they didn't realize, or maybe they had forgotten, was the day after they got into the promised land and started to partake of the fruit of the land that God had provided for them, the manna stopped being provided. A lot of times we always want to go back. You know, there's a saying called the good old days. Everybody remembers the good old days, but what you don't remember is that during those good old days that you remember, people were talking about the good old days that they remember. They were wanting to go back then. I want to tell you that it is not our responsibility to try and second guess God's timing of placing us strategically in Earth's timeline and strategically, geographically, and equipping us spiritually to make kingdom impact. It's not for us to go back. The kingdom of God is not about a retreat. It is about an advancement. It is about going and ripping the doors off of the gates of hell, and that those gates will not prevail against the church of the living God. Okay? It's about going forward. And so these people have come all the way around. Jesus teaches them, and the statement that he makes to them is described here in verse number 60, how they heard it. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" Okay? The other night, let's see, I guess it was a week ago, Wednesday. So a week ago yesterday, I came home from church, and I was just looking for a little something to put in my stomach so that I could go to sleep and not, you know, be hungry. We're doing some, I've been fasting breakfast most of the month of January here. And, you know, we're also doing some other fasting, not a total fast. I'm not just doing water, but some other things that we're doing as well. And so I had this little container, this little prepackaged container of applesauce with cinnamon. And as I was sitting there eating that, I told my wife, I said, "Wow, there's not a whole lot of difference here in the way that I'm eating this, the way that it's packaged, the way that it's dispensed and all that, between this and baby food." You say, "Why are you telling us this story?" A lot of people have never got to the place where they are able to work through the challenging passages of the Bible. You know, my job is to take the complex and make it simple, to make it real, to make it of such an understanding that you will want to implement God's ways and God's word into your life. That's what I've got to do. But there are some times that you're going to have to wrestle with some things spiritually yourself. So a lot of times I will not give people the direct answer. Now, if we're talking a new believer, I will, if they ask questions, I'll explain, I'll give the answer. But for seasoned believers, I want them to know that they can go to Jesus to find out the answer to the difficult questions. So, sometimes I will say, well, what did you find out when you were looking at the Bible? What do you study? How do you handle this? See, when I went to Bible college, I know this sounds really old and dated and all of that sort of stuff, but when I went to Bible college, they did not teach me what to think. They taught me how to think. Now they taught me theology, but when they taught that theology, they laid out all of the various viewpoints on those certain things. And so let me give you an example. There are two different theological teachings on the nature of man. One is that we are body and soul, and the other is that we are body and soul and spirit. And they laid out both of those teachings for us. And at some point in time, they asked us, what is your viewpoint? And my teaching, and it wasn't one of the verses that they taught us, is I believe that we are a three-natured creation, that we are body and soul and spirit. And the reason that I said that was because Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is able to divide between soul and spirit. And so I may not be able to identify that line, but the word of God can. And because of that, I said that, and the teacher gave me 100% on the answer to the question, not because they necessarily agreed with my answer, but because they agreed with the way that I processed the word of God in that situation. You and I, we need to mature so that during difficult seasons, when there are things that we don't understand, that's what they said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? A lack of understanding should not be the exit ramp for us to say, you know what, I just don't understand this whole Jesus thing, and therefore I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm not going to walk with Jesus. That's silliness. It's unwise. And so I'll give you another real life example of how to process something that you don't understand. I was talking to someone several years ago about a teaching that they had given, and sometimes that goes well with me and sometimes it doesn't. I've had friends that when I challenged them on some of the things that they were teaching, they did not respond well. And it wasn't that I was being arrogant. I was seriously concerned for their spiritual well-being, and they didn't respond well. And so it kind of makes you a little hesitant. So there was a person, and they shared something from the Word of God. and they made a statement based upon a particular scripture. And I asked them this, have you considered this scripture here? And when you first look at it, scripture A and scripture B don't look like the two of them are compatible. And so their response was, well, the reason that I made the statement that I did was because of the scripture over here, which that scripture is settled forever. It is not going away. It's absolute truth. It's impossible for God to lie. The verse that I shared with them was the word of God. It was scripture. It's true. It's established forever. It's not going away. So how do we reconcile those two statements? And I was like, you know what? I believe both of those statements are true. I have no idea how God is going to reconcile those two verses in such a manner that both of them end up 100% true. But he's an omnipotent God. He is an infinite God. And just because my finite mind cannot understand the infinite God's process does not mean that his word is false. It just means that I don't understand it. I don't understand the process. So I say yes and amen to this scripture over here. I say yes and amen to this situation, and my understanding is, God, I trust you beyond my understanding. Okay? When our kids were growing up, one of the questions that kids like to ask is why? Why? And, you know, every time you answer a why, there's another why. And so at some point in time, we explained to our kids, said, look, our goal is to get you to trust us even when you do not understand why we are saying what we are saying. Because you might have wandered out into the street and there is a car coming and we are telling you, get out of the street. There might not be time for an explanation at that point in time. You might not understand, but we need you to trust us when we tell you to do something or to not do something, because we have greater understanding because of our perspective than what you do. So here a few weeks ago, I was taking a walk in the neighborhood, and there were some cars that were driving very fast and very erratically and doing some strange things. And as I was walking one direction, one of the vehicles started heading back my direction, and in between us was some people who were taking a walk in the street. There were some cars that were parked there, and I started encouraging them. There's a car coming and it's driving really crazy, and I just encourage y'all to get out of the street. And they eventually got to the side, but I didn't have relationship with them. In fact, if we were standing side by side at the grocery store, I wouldn't recognize them to this day. I'd never encountered them on one of my walks before. And so they don't know. How do I respond? You know, when you are seeking Jesus, when you're seeking Jesus because of who he is and what he wants to do in your life, there are going to be some times when your understanding is challenged. There's going to be some difficult things. You know, how can you use the Babylonians that are more wicked than the people of Judah? How can you use them? He said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of the Babylonians too. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to see what God is going to do. The one thing that I understand about God is that he is absolutely 100% faithful and true. You can trust him. You can trust him. And I pray that you get to the place where you can understand, or that you can trust him even when you don't understand the teaching. Okay? Verse number 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said to them, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." So Jesus understood what they were processing. He understood what they were struggling with. So please understand that if you are struggling with something, Jesus is not going, "Oh, I can't believe they still don't have this yet." He will walk with you as long as you will walk the journey with him to help bring you understanding. But a lot of people, when they do not understand something, are offended by the things that they don't understand. Okay, there are some other, let's see, if I take you to the book of Jude, there's a verse that I want to share with you. In verse number 8, it says, "Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Listen to this. "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." What he said is that these, because they do not understand, they blaspheme, they speak evil of, they talk bad about. There's a whole lot of stuff that's there in verses 8 through 11 that would allow you to see what is going on with our political system here in America, where there are people who reject authority. Now, you've got to understand that there is a way to respond to authority when they are in line with the will of God, and a way a believer is required to respond to authority when those believers are not in alignment with the God who gave them the authority that they operate in. You know, you and I we're called to honor God. We live under his authority. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, go ye therefore." So when people are not in alignment with the authority, you and I are not, we are not to be rejecting authority. We are supposed to be encouraging those ungodly authorities to come back into alignment with the word of God. Okay? There are a lot of people who will sell out the word of God to embrace ungodly policies if it means their career is prolonged. I can't endorse ungodly policies. I can't. You know, if that means that God has to give us a prophetic mantle that is more interested in summoning people back into relationship with God than just identifying future events, then so be it. But we've got to be telling people, look, God loves you. He doesn't want you to perish, and he wants you to repent. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have to live a repentant life. and we've got to come into alignment with his word and his authority. So Jesus says, does this offend you? I want to encourage you to do your best to live free of offense, where you aren't offended to the point that, you know, you're just going to carry that grudge around and nurse it all of your life. Everybody has difficult things that happen to them. Everybody has things that go on in their life that they do not understand. There have been things that happened in my ministry that I was like, God, I don't understand. And it wasn't until later where God caused me to look back and see that he had orchestrated all of these events. Even some of them were very unpleasant, and but because of that, he ended up positioning me to where I would be pastoring Merit Assembly of God in 2021, and I would be speaking to you on the Refresh Radio program Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, WWBC 1510 AM, 10:30 of a morning. But if I'd said, God, you know what, I'm offended because of this decision, I wouldn't be here today. Don't be offended by God. Don't be offended by God's word. Allow God's word to work in your life. So let me send you out today on a positive note, and to do that with kind of a little bit of a joke that is relevant, and also it's a groaner joke. But did you know that at 1 minute after midnight on January the 1st of 2021, that hindsight became 2020? Oh, that even got a groaner out of Paul. But it is true. If you and I look back, we'll have a lot better understanding. Trust the God of your past to be the God of your present and the God of your future. You can trust him. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
All the bitter, weary ways, the endless striving day by day. Have the strength to pray in the valley low. And how hard your fight has been, how deep the pain within, wounds that no one else has seen, hurts too much to show. And all the doubt you're standing in between, and all the way that brings you to your knees. He knows. Shrink when you
find the one who